Hey guys, this is Courtney Cole, and you're listening to the Love Freak Podcast. If you're loving this healing journey that we're on together through this podcast, be sure to check out my latest EP, Earthquake, which is all about my own personal healing journey that led me to doing this very podcast. You can check it out on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, or basically anywhere you love listening to music. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you're continuing to align with love and that you're creating some beautiful, beautiful things. Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hi, this is Mariana Rittenhouse, and you're listening to the Love Freak Podcast with Courtney Cole. If you're looking to deepen your connection to yourself and to Mother Nature, then the number one way I know how is to start your own tea practice. And I'm here to show you how to do exactly that. So follow me at Mariana Rittenhouse on Instagram to learn more, and happy listening.
Hey, all you freaks, welcome back to the Love Freak Podcast. I am so excited to be sitting down with someone I admire very much today and someone who you should definitely be following along with on Instagram because she's just so beautiful, so real, and so inspiring. Her name is Laura Lee Bryant, and Laura Lee is a certified holistic chef and the author of the Simply Laura Lee Balanced Cookbook, where she has designed recipes that meet all of your cravings, but also serve your body in all the healthy, beneficial ways. And today we are going to be talking about the healing diet, the one where your system is burdened or overrun and you find yourself struggling to eat and fully nourishing your body. And we're going to talk about options and mentalities that bring balance, comfort, and healing. We've all been through, you know, those times where we're going through some big life stuff or life changes and we're just so busy trying to make it through each day that we forget to take care of our bodies and our mental health in the process. So Laura Lee has an incredible story and she's been experiencing so much beauty in her life after going through some pretty intense life shifts. So she is going to give us a lot of real honest insight today. So let's tune in. Laura Lee, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Love Freak Podcast. Thank you so much for hanging with us today. It's amazing to just get to see you and meet you finally.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I feel like the timing was just meant to be.
Absolutely. It really feels that way. It's very serendipitous. So real quick, before we get into everything, you are a holistic chef certified in health supportive cooking. I've never heard of that before. So can you explain what that is and kind of how you've gotten to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. I still don't know what that means. So health supportive chef was the title given to us from our culinary school when we graduated. I don't think they exactly knew even, but it was a way to sort of differentiate the fact that we went to this accredited chef's training program, but that we also learned about food and healing and how it can affect every aspect of your life inside and out. And so it's just this kind of amorphous title that I think has grown with me and I've grown with it over the years.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. Cause it's like what you put into your body is gonna, you know, help you with how you show up in this world. So I love it. It's very, very cool. I love following you on Instagram for so many reasons. You have so much amazing information that you share, but I think the thing I love most of all is just your heart and your vulnerability. You really do. You bare your soul and you make us all feel like we're not alone in this world. So thank you so much for that. But you recently shared that you went through a breakup. You're going through some major life shifts. You moved your life to Asheville from Nashville, which that's a total slogan. You need to use that somewhere. but anyway, I just really related to your story because I went through a very similar scenario a few years back and I saw a major decline in my mental health after my career shifted, a significant relationship ended, and I really just needed a change of scenery and a fresh perspective. So I moved to LA, not to run, but to ultimately heal. And I ended up, you know, being in a place where I found an incredible amount of healing and recovery. And I actually haven't left. But during the stints of the depression and the anxiety that I went through, I definitely wasn't taking care of myself, both physically and emotionally. And I think that self-care is essential and realigning ourselves with a healthier frequency and keeping our bodies healthy in order to remain open to that connectivity and higher guidance. And ultimately, it's just good for your sanity, right? But today, I would love to chat with you about all things nutrition, mental health, self-care during the healing process, and you know how that's worked for you and how it is working for you, if that's good.
For sure. Let's do it.
So first of all, how are you? How is your move to Asheville? How is your heart?
Thank you for asking. Oh my gosh. I am amazing. I say that like without reservation, which makes me uncomfortable because I feel like I should say I'm okay, but honestly, you know, I did go through a tough breakup 3 months ago. But honestly, the work, what came from that, what that catalyzed and the work that I did, I can truly say I am the happiest I've been right now in, I don't even know how long. I mean, honestly, I feel like maybe in my whole life, honestly. Wow. Yeah. So I have just done, it's been such an incredible journey. And I think the tools that I learned along with some of the choices that I made, have just gotten to me to this point where I feel like I am like living my dream life. And, you know, I'm in therapy and I have an amazing coach as well. And I have so much work I continue to do, but I am in such a happy and content place right now.
Oh my gosh. I am so happy to hear that. It's interesting how life kind of brings in these things that we need when we don't really expect it. And you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, this was like actually a gift that some of this happened. And, you know, the change of scenery, I think is just probably good for inspiration, good for clarity. Like I think about for me when I'm writing a song and things get stuck and I don't even, you know, I'm just like, gosh, I can't, this doesn't feel like it's moving or going anywhere. I have to change the capo or change the key. And it opens up a whole new, you know, space for melodies or ideas. And then a whole song just falls out in 45 minutes. It's incredible. Like when you just shift the energy, how beautiful that can be.
Totally. I love that because I was feeling so stuck. I think, you know, I've been visiting Asheville where I'm living now. I've been visiting here for 7 or 8 years and honestly have wanted to live here pretty much that long, as long as that. And I've been making decisions not to be here because of fear and because of relationships and because of who people wanted me to be. And I think that even though with choosing to go to culinary school to uproot my career and, you know, go on this crazy holistic health journey, that was definitely an instance where I listened to my gut, but I haven't done that as much in other aspects of my life. I've really played it safe, but that ended up actually not being safe. Right. And this was an instance where I kept ignoring the urge to make this decision and to follow my heart and my dream. And it kept showing up as stuckness and not being where I needed to be. And just what shifted when just like you're saying, like these small sort of nuanced changes. But what shifted when I just said, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go for 6 months. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pull the ripcord. And what like tumbled out of that has just been truly nothing short of a miracle, honestly. So,
and what has that looked like? Is it just like a bunch of these serendipitous moments that kind of everything's falling into place? And it's just like the universe being like, you're on the right track.
Yeah. So that looked like a couple things. One was definitely finding this place in Asheville, and the timing of it was really crazy. And then finding a roommate like you, like I found someone to live with for the exact amount of time that I needed, which was weird. And then that was like, you know, my friend Megan, who I lived with, it was like our little incubator for a few months. And then we kind of spread our wings. But also, like, I found in this time, like the right therapist for me. That had been a journey for me to find the right person. I super connected with her. I started working with a coach on relationships, and it's so much bigger than that. That's been life-changing. So I found her, committed to her. That was big. Yeah. And then I think just the daily work that I have been doing on myself, and like my coach calls it just like your ugly truth, like really getting down and dirty about the like ugly, dark thoughts that have led me to not, you know, making these decisions for myself. All of that, I just really like dove in and did that in a way distraction-free than I, in a way that I've never done before. And yeah. And then my apartment became available 2 weeks early, and then the move like overall went really smoothly. So just so many things.
Wow. It's amazing to see all these things just activated in you. Like, it's just such a story of how, you know, the dark and the light, of how there's so much in us that we believe about ourselves that can hold us back from really accessing our truth and our purpose and our potential. And mm-hmm. It's amazing that you were able to work your way through that and take the step and follow your heart, and all of these amazing things are falling into place for you. And I'm sure it was really, really challenging. Like, I feel like when you kind of step into that, you feel like there's so much instability, because you're leaving a life that you knew and you're walking into something so different, and you have to almost work through like a phase of depression. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. You're mourning an old way. Do you feel like that was true for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a really, really painful time. I experienced some heartbreak for sure. But I think there was also a greater pain of what you're saying, the greater pain of the recognition that the way that I'd been doing things and what I'd hoped my life would be was just not real, actually. Like, it just wasn't real. And so there was I don't know if I would say a depression for me personally, I think, but there was definitely a melancholy and a darkness and a heartbreak and a lot of pain that came with that. And there were some, you know, some excruciating moments. Absolutely. But I felt so committed and clear very, very early on. And that was helpful. You know, having just made the commitment, I mean, I committed to at least 3.5 months before I was even going to move. And that just really carried me through. But yeah, there was a darkness, and that changed, you know, my relationship with food and everything, which I think we should talk about, because I think it's interesting how grief can dovetail into what we choose to eat and all of that. But that ended up being actually a good thing for my health also, ultimately. Totally. So yeah, you're catching me. I mean, obviously it would have been a very different conversation, I think, even a month and a half ago, but you were really catching me when a lot of this has really come full circle. So I'm excited.
Oh, I love that. It's amazing. You're glowing. Like, you really are. You can just see that in you. But how has nutrition been important through this whole healing process and moving through it for you? What does that look like?
Yeah. So I think that my answer like might be kind of controversial in the wellness world, but
okay.
I, I have found that the more I relax my grip on food dogma and rules, the better my health is personally. Now, I don't have like major intolerances or sensitivities. Obviously, for somebody who can't eat gluten, for example, then no amount of sort of like chilling out is going to make them be able to digest gluten. But for me personally, I was so strict about what was healthy, what was not healthy, following food rules, even for the first like 5 years of my career as a holistic chef. And it really, I got divorced 3 years ago. And that was the first time where instead of living to eat, I was eating to live. And that began my journey with just chilling out about food and really, you know, just enjoying a much more truly, I think, balanced approach and really listening to my hunger and not worrying about every day I have to eat a vegetable. And I have just really learned to trust my body. And this was certainly a reminder of that, because I think a lot of us, when we're in grief, we don't have as much of an appetite. And that was the case for me. And also, you just can't digest things quite as well. And so a lot of it was trusting that it's okay. It's okay during that time to, again, not need to eat like a giant bowl of broccoli with every meal, because honestly, that was just not going to go down well. Like, it just wasn't. No. But I could also be thoughtful and say, okay, well, what's something that I can get that's nutrient dense, but still feels cozy and warming and indulgent, is easy to digest. So I was like making like grilled cheese, but I was trying to use like a really good quality cheese from like pasture-raised cows when I could, and some like grainy bread, and, you know, some like soup that was like, whether it was homemade or not, like just kind of watching what was in it. And but there was also a time and place for, at the time, for Oreos, or, I mean, there still is, for ice cream sandwiches. And there was a lot of like bone broth, a lot of eggs that was like really soothing to me. And so it was this kind of this hybrid of listening to my body and understanding that I was in a point, I was at a point that was a period of time where what is considered sort of traditionally healthy wasn't really the right fit for my body. And love smoothies too. Like, smoothies are such a great way to get nutrition, but also like with cauliflower rice, I was throwing that in there because honestly, the idea of, yeah, just chowing down on a bunch of veggies was just like not doing it for me.
Wow. Yeah. I want to touch on something that you said, you know, when you're going through something hard, whether it be a breakup or something other, anything like that, it's really, really hard to find food appealing. A lot of times, you know, people don't want to eat and it's hard to make yourself eat. And I was wondering if there is a work around this. You mentioned smoothies, but what are some other ways that you can make sure you're fueling your body, even like if it's in, you know, minimal consumption? Like, is there a way to kind of get a bang for your buck, so to speak, if you're not feeling like eating, but want to fuel your body kind of with the right stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will just throw in a disclaimer, because I'm not a medical professional. I like to make sure people know I'm not a dietitian. I'm not a dietitian or anything. So I truly recommend, if you're going through a hard time and you really don't have an appetite, I truly recommend working with like a dietitian and or a therapist. Like, I am not the authority on this at all. I'm strictly speaking from my personal experience. So smoothies was a really, really good way for me to do that. And then again, soups, finding just a really simple base. And then I personally love carbs. I'm not afraid of carbs. I'm not even afraid of like simple carbs, like white rice. And so one thing was, you know, just getting like some bone broth, throwing in some rotisserie chicken, some cooked rice, and even like thawed from frozen broccoli is a little bit softer, easier to digest. Or just what, if there's any vegetable that sounds good to you, throwing that in there is really nice. So like some thick, hearty soups were fantastic. What else did I do? Yeah. And I did like, I mean, I like things that were in sort of a wrap or a sandwich was really amazing. So I would just try to make sure that I was getting some healthy fats, and that I was going to get like a kind of a hearty, seedy bread where I could get some fiber with that, and making sure there was, you know, avocado on there or whatever your fat of choice is. I mean, I think again, if you digest dairy, which I do just fine, that's great. I made a lot of like yogurt bowls. Yogurt is a really like great source of protein. I do plain full fat yogurt, and then I either mix like honey or stevia into it with some cinnamon and just some organic frozen fruit that I could throw in. I try to think about this trifecta of like fat, fiber, and protein whenever I'm putting together a meal or a snack. So some kind of a source of healthy fat, whether that is, you know, a full fat Greek yogurt, a high quality cheese, avocado, olive oil, or avocado oil, or even, you know, butter, I think is great. Ghee, nuts.
I love ghee. Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Obsessed. I love it. It's delicious.
So good. So underrated.
I was going to say, I'm really picky. There's some brands that I think have a really funky flavor to them that originally super turned me off. But I think it's Artisana has like one, and it's just, if you get like the right ghee, it's really, really delicious. You know, like if you can do a wild caught, like fatty fish, that's always great. You may not be into that, but even just like tuna, something like that, some tuna salad, I was doing a lot of hard boiled eggs. That was great. And then, yeah.
Hard boiled eggs for sure. I was just going to give you a thumbs up on that.
Yeah. Some hard boiled eggs with the Trader Joe's everything, but the bagel seasoning was great. I loved that. I was also using my air fryer a lot. So I made these air fryer dinners a bunch. And like, this is a really good example of something that I wouldn't have done a couple of years ago, but I feel like personally, I think it's fine for now. Or indefinitely, I don't know, but I bought like the Chick-fil-A sauce. And so I would make these, when I started craving vegetables more, I would make these air fryer meals where I would do like an organic chicken sausage, the Trader Joe's frozen sweet potato fries, and then like a bunch of, like cruciferous veggies, like broccoli, cauliflower. And I would throw all of that in the air fryer. And then I would, get some avocado if I had it, or some kimchi. Kimchi, I personally really like it, and it's a great source of probiotics. And I would just,
I know it is, but I have a hard time with kimchi. It's a little,
you know, but see, this is like, to me, that's such a good example. Like then it's just not for you, you know, like
yeah, totally.
I can't do small fish, like anchovies, sardines, like I can't do them. People love them. People, like one of my best friends, she can just like eat them straight out of the can. I can't do it. So I'm not going to force myself, even though I know they're really nutrient dense and all that. So if kimchi doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. And that's fine. So I would do all that and just like drizzle it with the douse it with the Chick-fil-A sauce. And that was a great meal for me to, I just really looked forward to it and it went down easily and all that. So those are some of the things that I was doing. So fat, fiber, and protein, if you can kind of think about do each of these things have a source of that? Also, it's just like a good peanut butter and jelly. Again, if you're not going to be eating like a ton of produce, then I would say like, it isn't, maybe think about the quality of the bread and the peanut butter and, you know, just because you're not sort of balancing it out. Like I would say if you're going to be having PB&J every day, I would say look into like the quality of the components. But at the same time, sometimes you just need like Jif on Wonder Bread, you know, and like, it's okay. It's fine.
I'm still like thinking of this Chick-fil-A sauce meal that you're mentioning. And I'm looking at you going, this girl is a genius. Like that sounds like, how do you even think of that? That's incredible. So like you always hear the term comfort food when you're going through something, but it's like, sometimes you can rely on that kind of like as a crutch or, you know, and that can become unhealthy, especially if you're just like filling your body up with junk, but you've kind of seemed to create a bit of a holistic approach to comfort food. And when I think of comfort food, I think of like cakes and wines and Mexican food and pastries and like all these things that sound so delicious right now. Oh my gosh. But it seems like there's kind of a healthy approach then to comfort food. And is that within the balance of everything that you're mentioning?
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, like I'm way more, I don't know. I am way more relaxed about all of that than I used to be. I think I think for most people in my personal experience, when we trust our bodies, have the comfort food that you're craving and then let your body like kind of do the rest. Like if you're just dying for your favorite, like takeout Chinese food and like nothing else will satisfy you, just have it. Honestly, that's how I feel. Yeah. I personally think just have it, because if you don't, even if you're making, like, I love to make homemade versions of comfort food. And if that's working for you, most of the time, I would say like 9 times out of 10, I can satisfy my own craving with something that's homemade that I think tastes really delicious and similar. But sometimes you just want the thing and you just kind of have to have the thing because you, your brain won't let it go. And then you get into a deprivation mindset. So for me, it will all come out in the wash. If you're obsessing over getting a Snickers and you want a Snickers so desperately, and so you're just instead like eating a bunch of like raw chocolate, like you're going to end up going to the gas station and like getting like the king size Snickers. So just like, you know, if you see,
I feel like, you know, me right now, I feel like you're calling me out.
Are we just on the same taste buds other than kimchi? Yeah. So no, but there was so much of that, like whether it was like Chick-fil-A or like frozen chicken nuggets, like I was craving chicken nuggets. So I just got the frozen chicken nuggets, but then I didn't want super fibrous, like mixed greens, but I did like the idea of like organic romaine. So I would make these like big salads with like organic romaine dressing and like either a homemade salad dressing or even just like a healthier, like ranch or Caesar. I wanted something really, you know, whatever, and throw some like chopped chicken nuggets on it. Like, wow. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Totally.
You know, it's like,
yourself live a little.
Yeah. Where can you make improvements? And at what point do you just have to kind of go for the craving and know that your body is strong and, can really sort of like do a lot of that work for you.
Trusting your body a little more.
Yeah. And again, obviously this doesn't apply if you have an intolerance or sensitivity. I'm not saying go ahead and like do that. But if you're somebody who tends to overarchingly digest things really well, like I had one of these giant chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwiches from Trader Joe's almost every single night.
Those are my favorite. I messaged you about those. Those are struggles for me.
See, I know. And that's where it's just like, to me, again, like I try to be really careful because like my wheelhouse is not, it's really not helping people through like any kind of disordered eating. Even though I've been there personally. But what I find is that just a lot of the time I have to make sure, one, I ask myself, am I eating enough calories like from the rest of my day? But if I know that I've like gotten in enough food and I've done a pretty good job, you know, looking for some micronutrients and some fiber and all of that stuff, and I'm just like, you know what? I just want that ice cream sandwich for the 10th night in a row. I'm going to have it. And that's just me.
Well, and there's this, a certain point too, I think that I love what you're saying, because, you know, you're already going through so much when you're going through something like you've been through or whatever, that you put a lot of pressure on yourself. You're already probably beating yourself up to a certain extent. It's like, just go easy on yourself a little bit, let yourself kind of breathe a little bit rather just than being so rigid on a diet or saying, oh, I can't have this, can't have that. Like, exactly. Just acknowledging kind of what feels good for a second. And now, but I mean, there is a point probably where kind of like a craving kind of, you know, takes a hold and takes you to another place. It's like, there is a sense of control. I'm sure that comes with it somewhere down the line, but it's like in these times, I think you have to be easy on yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, like I have found that when I do feel like I'm just like in like a sugar addiction spiral, usually because I'm not getting enough healthy fat and healthy protein in my meals, just for me personally, I find that. And so I generally experience, just increasing those things, adding another source of it, another snack or whatever, and just making sure I'm really getting that satisfying fat and that satisfying protein. And then eventually these sugar cravings, they just kind of naturally fall away.
But see, that's good to know, because like someone like me who doesn't really know much about that stuff would just be like, oh my gosh, my sugar cravings are out of control and I just want sugar all the time, so I'm just going to eat sugar, and not being like, oh, well, I need to maybe balance that out with some healthy fats or whatever. So that's like a good little
thing
to remember.
And the fiber. And I think also like, I do think the way you set the tone for your day, I do think whatever your breaking of the fast is, whatever your breakfast is, like I am just not hungry usually until like 10 a.m. So I'm just not hungry the first couple hours of the morning. But I will say, if you do find yourself in kind of like a sugar carb overload, sometimes it is because you're just not, that first meal isn't satiating enough. It doesn't have enough of those like macronutrients in it. So, you know, maybe making that, bulking that meal up a little bit and adding more protein and fat to that particular meal can be helpful.
That's money. No, that's so helpful. Is there anything through this process that you have kind of realized, like maybe I shouldn't eat during this time? Because I feel like there's a lot of foods that you can eat that kind of decrease stress levels and reverse some of the inflammation that's kind of caused by trauma. So is there anything that you are like, you know what, this is probably not good for me? Or is this just a point where you're like, you know, I'm just going to listen to my body right now?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I really don't think about things as like with the mindset of like, this isn't good for me or this is good for me. I did for a long time. I really don't anymore. I think for me personally, it's just dangerous language. And I just don't think about things like that. I just truly trust the fact that, sorry, my cat is being so loud.
I can't even hear her. It's okay.
Yeah, I really don't think about things like that. And, you know, there are definitely some overarching things. Like if you're drinking a ton of alcohol and you're like going crazy on caffeine and crazy on sugar, like there is research that shows that may contribute to inflammation. Like that's the furthest I can go with that. But what causes inflammation in one person may not cause inflammation in another. Like I've had all my inflammatory markers checked and gluten doesn't cause inflammation for me. Dairy doesn't cause inflammation for me. So
lucky.
Well, but I don't know how many people actually had it checked. Like how many people think that they have inflammation from these things and they actually don't. I don't, you know, like I try to stay away from too much that isn't backed by actual science and numbers. Because I think that does can contribute to some disordered eating mindsets. And so I don't really think about it like that, but I do find that if I go 3 days without eating any fruits or vegetables and like, you know, drinking too much, like I tend to crave, you know, water rich foods and some like lighter things, or not even lighter, but just like some whole foods, some real whole foods. So, you know, I'm hesitant to say what people should or shouldn't do in that scenario, except other than check in with your body. And you know, if your digestion is really sluggish, if you don't have energy, or if you can't sleep at night because you're jittery, if you do feel like your stress is out of control, I would say, you know, again, like not make like checking in, like, are you having coffee at 3 PM? Are you eating a ton of sugar? Are you, you know, maybe not getting some solid meals in during the day? And asking yourself to just make sure you're checking, are you drinking water? Like checking up those basics first, and then you can get into some more of the nuances. It really is just going to vary person to person.
I love your mindset, and I love not putting like bad juju on, you know, not eating certain things, because, you know, they even say like, it just puts like a bad energy into your body when you are doing something like that. You know, I think that's why people started praying over their food and being grateful for their food, because of the energy that it puts into your body and that mindset of gratitude. So I actually love that approach. And I love your approach of it's almost just like intuitive eating, you know, and I think just knowing your body well enough. And I think that that's something that we should kind of normalize as far as like comfort food in a way. It's like true comfort food through health instead of just like consistent junk. You know, you eat all the bad stuff and it's not ultimately comforting for your body because it can lead to the discomfort or it can lead to disease. But normalizing, just being intuitive, knowing what your body needs, and normalize fueling your body with comfort food that actually nourishes your body and brings it comfort, longevity, and connectivity. You know, I kind of like that vibe.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when we are going, I think what I have experienced is that when we're just eating like the sort of traditionally unhealthy comfort foods all the time, often that I see there's more mindset stuff going on there. It's not that we are like so addicted to the food itself that we have no control over the food. It's what's happening in our mind. So we really need, to me, that's the root of it is, why are we, how is it that we're viewing ourselves? What story are we in? What shame story are we in? What's really going on in our hearts and our minds and our souls behind that. And that sounds really woo-woo, but it's actually not. There's actually a lot of science behind that.
Girl, you can't get woo-woo on this. You can't get too woo-woo on this podcast. Okay, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. I think the sense of purpose that we have in the world, our relationship with whatever you believe in that's bigger than yourself, whether it's the, you know, the universe or God or all of these things can play into our relationship with food. And so if you feel like you're somebody who's just struggling over and over again with that, and you haven't checked in with your mindset and the stories that you're telling yourself about what food means. I mean, I think when we think about who we are when we're kids, most of us are lucky enough to have a pretty healthy relationship with food when we're children. And the difference between eating a sleeve of Oreos when you're 12, I mean, of course, our metabolism is different, but to me, the biggest difference is that when you eat a sleeve of Oreos when you're 12, you're just present and you're enjoying it and you're not making up a story about the meaning behind it. What does it mean that I'm eating a sleeve of Oreos? And then what is it going to mean after that? And what do I need to do to compensate for that? And how does that make, who am I as a person because I ate a sleeve of Oreos? You just eat them and your body is like, okay, now I'm good. I'm a little jittery from too much sugar, but I'm going to go outside and move around and I'm going to move on. And then if tonight I'm still going to eat like a dinner or not, you know, sometimes kids are like, oh, I'm fine. Like I'll skip a meal, whatever.
So I think, moment.
Yeah, that's the big difference. It's like, what's the meaning that you're making of it?
I love that point. We've talked about we talked about nutrition for the body, but what are some of the nutrients in your opinion for the soul? Do you have a daily self-care routine or one that you would recommend for someone listening that's kind of moving through their own process?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did touch a little bit. I don't talk about this a lot, but I do. My like faith journey has been a big part of my life. I'm still not in a place where I'm comfortable, like fully labeling all of my beliefs, but I will say reconnecting with, you know, I'll say God, like reconnecting with God has been a huge, huge part of that for me. It's something that when it's not there, I notice it. And I think it's been a missing link for me. So that's been part of it. And then another thing, I am a huge walker, being outside. So walking consistently I don't love to sit and meditate, but walking is my meditation. I try to a lot of the time. Yeah. Like, and not have, you know, so a lot of times I do listen to music or podcasts, but a lot of times I just don't listen to anything. I find that really helpful.
Are we the same person?
I mean, it kind of seems like it
might.
If you did like fermented cabbage, I would be scared. Other than beach versus mountains, I think that's the only other difference.
I like that. I like all of that. You need to come out to Cali. Let me take you on a few hikes. I feel like you would love it.
No, Yes, totally. I would love it. I need to get out there because I have other friends out there. So it would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. How has this phase of your life kind of introduced you to a deeper version of yourself? Do you feel like at all that you're experiencing, you know, kind of being reacquainted with a deeper truth in who you are?
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, for sure. I think a huge part of my journey is, and I think a lot of women experience this, moving away from the people pleasing, growing up in a Southern, you know, home and Southern culture, there's a lot of all have what they're having, you know, wanting to please, wanting to show up, being a chameleon and asking, who does this person need me to be? And I think I've done that in a lot of my relationships and it's led me astray. So I feel I can't even fully articulate how much that's changed for me. And then the last 3 months of work that I've been doing, I've definitely had major glimpses of knowing myself through this food journey and like being a holistic, like taking this unconventional path. I've gotten reacquainted with my truest self, but I still kind of push her down a lot because of fear of rejection and fear of abandonment and fear of control. I'm learning, you know, a lot of sort of what my mains like triggers are. And for a lot of people, like abandonment is like number one. For me, it's losing my freedom, losing my independence, being controlled. Like that's a real trigger for me. And so I've just really been understanding and getting comfortable talking to myself in the mirror, complimenting myself, just getting to know myself again and trying to be as unapologetically authentic as possible. And it's hard, but it's awesome.
So incredible. I feel like sometimes there's circumstances that are kind of called into our lives. I mentioned this earlier, but that just kind of activate our depth. And I feel like it's actually kind of what this whole life is about, to kind of evolve into more of who we're designed to be. And we have these experiences that happen to us that don't often look like gifts, but they end up being the most cherished gifts of all, because it makes us remember who we are, and it brings us back to that. And they activate these soul lessons and they activate our purpose. And I think that's why we can't be afraid to confront the things in our life that need confronting, the stuff that we don't always want to face, but we need to face, because that's where the growth and the healing lie. Otherwise, we just kind of sit in the tension and the agony, but there is a way through it. And I think that we forget that sometimes. And I mean, sometimes we just really get comfortable in the discomfort, and it's easier to just stay there. And moving through it isn't always comfortable, but there's peace on the other side, and there's rest, and there's clarity, and there's expansion, and there's movement. So I just don't think we should be afraid to just kind of keep stepping and moving forward, which sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. And it sounds like it's been an incredible journey so far.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I totally agree. That was beautifully said.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Is there anything that you would like to say to someone who's kind of moving through their own process of self-discovery and healing, or might be in a similar place to where you were a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. There's so much. I mean, my heart goes out to you, and I don't want to take away from whatever you're going through by saying, like, you know, it'll be okay, or it gets better. I guess I would just say, just trust yourself and be in it, and just have an enormous amount of compassion for yourself, and understand that grief is not linear. Pain is not linear. Healing is not linear. And so whatever you're going through, no matter how long it takes or what it looks like on any given day, it is right. And it's totally okay. And I guarantee you, I can't guarantee, but I would bet that for most of you, if you make a point to do the uncomfortable thing and reach out more for support and love and help and favors, ask for favors from the people who care about you, you will get so much more in return than you can even imagine. Let people who care about you, let them do for you, and surround you and just lift you up. And that can make a huge impact.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's FREQ. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.